2 Timothy chapter number 3, as you turn there, the Apostle Paul is writing young Timothy this letter. And at this time, he's going through great and difficult persecutions. As Paul's writing to Timothy, his son in the faith, he recognizes that he is facing death himself. Great difficulty under the hand of Nero. But nothing to be compared with what is yet to come. We think about the hour in which we live, and we have so many questions about what God is doing. But may I remind all of us that God is in charge. And the Bible says that He doth all things well. And so whatever that we may be facing individually or as a nation, keep in mind, God's hand is still on the throttle. More importantly, He's still seated on the throne. As you read this text, you'll find, first of all, this expectation of things that are yet to happen. Paul writes, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as James and Jambres withhold Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no farther, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine," Paul writes. And then he says, "manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that live godly shall suffer persecution." Notice verse 12. "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." As we read this text, we recognize that Paul was giving us here an expectation of what is to take place. The word perilous, as he says to young Timothy, he's saying again that these are perilous days, but not the end of time. These are perilous days. As we think about this century in when we're living now, 2,000 years from when Paul was writing young Timothy, may I say that the days are not getting better. They're only going to get worse. It doesn't matter who's president. It doesn't matter of the politics. The Bible says that perilous days are going to come. May I say that the Lord is setting the stage for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our world is facing moral depravity, spiritually, socially, politically, nationally, international darkness everywhere that we look. This world and all the things that are happening are simply, as I said a moment ago, just setting the stage for globalism. What is that? When a unified world leader, the Antichrist, will step forward, have all the answers. I'm glad that I know Christ as my Savior. And I'm glad that His Word is true. And God has promised us that the next thing on His agenda is the coming of the Lord. And the Bible says that the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air to meet the Lord in the air. And there shall we be forever and ever be with the Lord, is what the scripture says. Knowing that we're not going to go through the tribulation period. As a child of God, we take the word of God for what it says. And knowing this, in chapter 3 and chapter 4 of this same book, Paul tells Timothy simply to remain faithful. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1, notice what he says. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. He challenges Timothy to endure, reminding him that the endurance of one main quality or essential for a successful preacher of the gospel is for those to endure. The expectation is here. Notice verse 12 and 13. Yea, that all that live godly shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I say to you this morning that the world is not going to get better. As Christians, our hope is not in the world getting better. Our hope is not in the leaders, but our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. He reminds us here of the expectations. And you say, well, preacher, this is Sunday morning. The ladies have just done a beautiful job, and we've had a wonderful time in Bible hour this morning, all the Sunday school classes, and now you're talking about doom and gloom. No, I'm telling you that the stage is set, and when you see these things coming about, knowing that the end, the nearing of the Lord Jesus Christ is here. And may we be faithful till the Lord Jesus Christ comes. How many believe that the Lord can come at any moment, even before this service is over? Would you say amen? So that's where our hope is, knowing that God has left us here for a purpose, that we would be a witness to a lost and dying world. May we lift up your eyes and look on the fields and see they're white, all ready to harvest. And God has given us such a mission. And may we be obedient to the Lord. Notice verses 14 and 15. We not only see the expectation, but we see the exhortation given in this verse. But continue, thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. He gives an exhortation, and with that a resolution, not just for Timothy, but for all of us to continue. Be committed to the scriptures. There's a commitment here to the scriptures, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. He's saying, hold fast. We talk about Gideon Sunday. We talk about the Bible. May we hold fast the Word of God. And knowing that this is the Word that can speak to the hearts and lives of individuals. By the way, this is the answer. For all of the world's problems, this is the answer. Thank the Lord that we have God's Word, the inspired, the infallible, the inerrant Word of God. He says, but continue in that which thou hast learned. When we think about the Word of God, the Bible says, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 28, remove not the ancient landmark which our fathers have set. We have this as a theme for our church. To remove not the ancient landmark is not talking about some building. Next week, we celebrate our 88th anniversary as a church. But over these 88 years, it's not talking about the building. It's talking about the Bible. It's talking about the Word of God. This is our landmark. This is our guide. This is our point of reference. This is what we are to follow. That's why it's important to get the Word of God out, not only in mission fields and around the world, but right here in our local community in any way that we possibly can. The Word of God. Continue means simply to abide, to dwell, to remain. Oh, the Bible says it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You'll find this word continue 38 verses in the Bible reference continue. Abiding 47 times. continuing the things, he says, which thou hast learned, hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. The very words that we hold, that we read in our Bible, we recognize they are inspired. God has given us, this is a God-breathed book. Do you believe that? This is God's spoken word that's been preserved for us. Thank God for the Word of God. May I say, you can't have thoughts without having words. More than you could have mathematics without numbers. We have the Word of God. This is where we get our direction from. This is where we get our guidance from, our counsel from. And he says to young Timothy, but continue. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. And so when we say this is the verbal inspired or verbal inspiration, we mean that the words are inspired. We're simply saying that this has been inspired by God. That means, again, the plenary inspiration. The word in Latin, plenus, means everything is inspired. Everything, every word in this book. 66 books of the Bible, over a period of 1,600 years, was written by 40 different men. Various backgrounds, no doubt. Various personalities and men that we would not want to even listen to. But understand, it's all inspired. The very Word of God, 1,189 chapters in the Word of God, it's verbally inspired. All Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, is inspired Word of God. Would you say amen? Amen. Every word as God gave it. It's not as if someone may have mistranslated every word the Bible says. The inspiration of the Scripture is here. The information that is in the Word of God. Do you desire counsel? Are you trying to make decisions in your life? He reminds us that the Word of God will direct our paths as we understand, to as Paul was writing young Timothy. He says in verse number 16, notice what he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. May I say, all of us that know Christ as our Savior, we were saved by the knowledge of the Scripture. Verse 15, he says, and that from a child, Timothy, you've known the Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. By the way, the Bible says that we're begotten by the Word of God. It's not about someone's personality. It's not one that is following someone because mom and daddy did. Oh, daddy and mommy have influence, no doubt. But it is the Word of God that we are saved by. It is the Word of God that we grow in. It is the Word of God that we find our hope. Others may let you down. Others may turn their back on you. Others may find themselves falling away and even getting out of church and not living the life of people who may have even led you to the Lord. But the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. That's where our hope is. That's where our faith is. We're all saved by the knowledge of the Scriptures to make thee wise unto salvation. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Scripture, he says, is profitable. It's valuable. It's the doctrine, he says, not only just for reading, but for teaching, to provide to others, to convey to others. And the Bible provides for us what Paul calls the deposit as he speaks to Timothy. God gives us the truth of his word, and may I say, and it needs to be guarded. The Bible is the revelation of the truth. Are you trying to find what truth is about this hour? Are you trying to figure out where we're headed as a country, as a people? You'll find it in God's word. And this is God's truth. It provides us provides for us every substance to believe, the doctrine of God, the body of content upon every thought and every action. Nehemiah, he talks about the Word of God in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 18, that they will read the Bible for 6 hours per day for 7 days. We find in 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 8, the man by the name of Hilkiah. You remember again that he says to his scribe these words. He said, I found the book. I found the book. How many have found the book? You read it. He says, I have found the book. Well, this is a book to live by. This is a book that has not only begotten me, saved me by this book, but it's the book that I live by. It's a book to guide us, to direct us in every area of our life. I found the book. Dr. Keith Kaiser, a professor at Crown College for a number of years. Brother Kaiser has preached from this pulpit. Brother Kaiser came and helped us with a couple's retreat many years ago over at Pipestem. Our guys all fell in love with him when he walked in. He had jeans on and big old belt buckle, cowboy belt buckle. And they all fell in love with Dr. Kaiser. Dr. Kaiser was a great guy. He wrote a song, as a matter of fact, that says, "I found the book." You've heard it, right? You guys have sung it. I found the book. I hope today that you found the book. And understanding again that when you find the book and you understand this book, then you have found everything. Last week we talked about the sower. We talked about from Luke chapter 8 verse 15, the sower went out to sow. The seed here is the word of God. Some fell on hard places, the word did, the seed did, and it was trodden down. Then the fowls came and picked it up. Some fell in the rocky ground and it withered away. The thorns choked it out, we found as well when it was sown there. But when it fell on good ground, the word of God, the seed fell on good ground. The Bible reminds us that it sprang up and brought forth some a hundredfold. It brought forth fruit. And may I say, the word of God is the answer for all life's problems. I thank the Lord for the Gideon ministry over the years. I was reminded as Brother Jay and I were talking this morning. Our dear friend and missionary, Brother Don Sisk, who's been in the ministry, wow, almost older than I am. He's been in the ministry and was a missionary for many years in China. A missionary yet involved. So he came to preach for us for our missions month, March for Missions. And he called me early Sunday morning. He said, "Brother Paulie," he said, "you're not going to believe this. The first time in my ministry, like 60 plus years," he said, "I didn't pack my Bible." He's coming to preach for us. He didn't pack his Bible. He said, "And fortunately, I opened the drawer here at the hotel, and there was a Gideon Bible there." He said, "I have this Gideon Bible marked as what I'd been studying before I got on the airplane." He said, "But is it okay if I preach from a Gideon Bible this morning?" I said, "That's fine, brother." He said, "Or do you have an extra Bible that I could use?" And I said, "I do, and I have several Bibles." And so the black Bible that he brought to the pulpit was one off of my shelf that I've used over and over again. He felt a little more comfortable with that than bringing a Gideon Bible. But he could have preached from the Gideon Bible. It's about the Word of God. Amen. And so when you think about the Word of God being spread abroad and being placed in hotels and jails and all the different places that people have access, may I say, he may not be a preacher who forgot his Bible, but he may be a wanderer, one that is lost without Christ, one that's come to the end of himself, one that is in deep despair, maybe even ready to take his life. And it's that hour that the Word of God comes alive in his heart. And that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, the Bible says he shall be saved. That comes from the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In John chapter 5 in verse 24, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." In verse number 25, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," he's saying, "listen up, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of God, and they that are here shall live." Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, "So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." People are looking for answers today. I believe God has got our attention. I believe God is doing something wonderful. But may I say, the answer doesn't come from Fox News. The answer doesn't come from the president's Oval Office. The answer is in God's Word, the inspired, the infallible, the inerrant Word of God. Revelation chapter 2 and 3 reminds us over and over again, if you have ears to hear, if you have ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. We see in this passage of Scripture the inspiration of the Bible. We believe that, the information that comes from the Bible. But notice the instruction that he gives here. In this passage of Scripture, he reminds him the instruction for righteousness. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Do we believe that? And do we believe it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction? And then notice what he says, for instruction in righteousness. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If you're looking for the foundation for your life, it should start with this book. It doesn't matter if you're a teenager. Doesn't matter if you're one who's graduating this year. We'll celebrate those tonight. Graduating from high school, getting ready to take your next step. Graduating from college and going out into the world and for a career. And may I say, the foundation that you need in your life is this book. It provides principles that we're to follow and operate in our life, every individual. And may I say, for every decision that we make, may we be led by this precious book. I did not mark my text, but turn with me, please, to Psalms. I love the Psalms. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the longest of all the Psalms. When you think about the Psalms as like a little Bible within it's the Bible. But notice Psalm 119, verse 99. And the writer, the psalmist, says in verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. This is the answer. Look in verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. You see, the Lord desires to direct our steps. But he desires not only to direct us, but to guide us continually, to teach us day by day. And we get understanding. We get understanding from the Word of God. You say, well, preacher, there's things that I read in the Bible that I don't really understand. Oh, I'm with you. And you can go through the Bible and you can say, I'm going to read every verse, every word of the Bible. And that's good to do. I get to some of those, you know, when I get to the Chronicles and some of those names, I can't even, like the old fellow said, I can't announce them two-cylinder words. Well, you may not be able to announce them, but they're still the inspired Word of God. But you'll find so many principles throughout the Word of God on every page. And David writes that the Word of God is forever settled. And may I say, it's not only settled, it wants to settle you as you get into God's Word. Are you looking for answers? Are you trying to make some decisions? Are you at a point where you're not sure exactly what to do? Then let's just give that to the Lord. Let's go to God's Word, and the Bible says, and He shall direct thy path. The word doctrine means teaching, to know what is right, to understand the right decision. The Bible teaches us what is right. It is profitable, the Bible says, for doctrine. But the Bible also tells us where we're wrong. Thank God He shows us how to get right. And He shows us not only, again, what is wrong, but in that wrong, He sends reproof. God is able, the Word of God goes on to tell us how to get right, how to stay right. And may I say, and when we are wrong, how to correct it. Let's just stay in the Word of God. The Bible here is to show us that if we stray off course, if we get going our own way, if we think we've figured it out or we've been influenced by someone else, He shows us how to get back to the Bible to tell us how to get right. Instruction, the Bible says, in righteousness in our text today. The Bible shows us what's right, what's wrong, how to get right. All Scripture, He says. All Scriptures. But not only for salvation, but for sanctification. Look at verse 17. And the Bible says, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You say, perfect? Can a man be perfect? That word simply means complete. Is there something lacking in your life? Things are going well, but there's just something missing. Could it be that we've decided, even as a Christian, that we've got this all figured out? May we get back to the Word of God. May we get back that the man of God may be perfect. He'll help us as we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. God's grace is sufficient. By the way, the measure of your growth is measured by the great degree by what you're feeding on from God's Word. Are you growing in the Lord? Or have you found yourself at a standstill, not sure which way to go? Then feed more on the Word of God. Get off of the YouTube channel. Get out of Facebook. Get off of the TV. Get off of the entertainment and quit being amused. We're reminded again, while I was musing, musing meaning concentrating, setting our mind toward the Word of God, the measure of your growth is measured by the degree, again, by what you're feeding on the Word of God. The Bible says, I love this passage, 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word of God that you may grow thereby. Oh, I remember the kids, Stacy, Scott, taking that bottle. And you know, Dad's supposed to be watching them. I'm holding the bottle. And little did I realize, because I'm getting all interested in Matt Dillon or something on the TV, you know, and I'm supposed to be feeding the baby. And I remember now hearing Scott and Stacy both going, and Papa, or Daddy rather, didn't have the milk all the way up, or it was gone dry, and they're still going. That's what he's talking about. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. It's interesting when you talk about the Gideon Bible at the hospital. It's interesting how that even a lot of Christians find themselves not getting into the Word until they come to the end of themselves. And they're in the hospital bed and they've gotten some bad news. They're not certain how it's all going to turn out. And they look in the drawer, they pull out a Bible and they begin to read. May I say, it ought to start long before we get in the hospital room. Oh, excuse me for yelling just a little bit. I know it's Sunday morning. But understand, we need to get excited about the Word of God, what God has given us. We are so entertained this day that we cannot dismiss ourselves enough to get in the closet. Literally, you may have to get in the closet to get into the Word of God, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, 2 Timothy 3:17. All Scripture. It's not just for salvation, but for sanctification. That the Word is not only the roadmap to heaven, but is the roadmap for the Christian life. As I come to a close, the Word of God is instrumental for salvation, for sanctification, and for our service for the Lord. Do you want to serve the Lord? Are you asking God, where can I serve? Do we believe that the Word of God convicts? Do we believe the Word of God corrects? Then the Word also gives counsel as we get in the Word of God. The Bible says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know him, because they are spiritually discerned. And Paul, as he writes to the church at Corinth, says in 2 Corinthians 14, then in verse 16 he says, but we have the mind of Christ. The Scriptures are truth which control your thought process and the way you act. You study the Word of God and follow His Word, it becomes a standard of our behavior, and our conduct will change. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. But may I say, as a newborn, you still need to desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. That the man of God may be perfect, he says, or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:7. So as we read this passage of Scripture, we see so much in this wonderful text, this short lesson. But if you get nothing else out of it, it's simply this. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.